First John chapter 4. This is the little John's in the back of the Bible. First John chapter 4. I got up Monday morning, worked all day researching and preparing a sermon. Finally finished that sermon about 6:30 Monday night, and said Tuesday morning, I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest my mind. And then I woke up on Wednesday morning, and the Lord told me, but that's not the sermon that you did Monday for Sunday. So I got back in there, and this is what God wants you to hear today. Have no doubt about it. It's been really amazing to me how timely some of the sermons that God has given me at this particular time in my life has been so applicable for you in this season of life that you're going through right now as a church. So I praise God as he works together to bring all this about. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. John previously mentioned love in chapter 2 of 1 John. And then again here in chapter 4, he continues to talk about love. In chapter 4, he emphasizes that love is a duty and a command, and also that love is our confirmation. In verse 7, John writes, Beloved, let us love one another. See, that's the command. That emphasizes our duty to love. And continuing on in verse 7 is the confirmation. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then interestingly, tucked right in the middle of verse 7, we see the origin of love. For love is of God. Verse 7 is the complete package in regards to love. Verse 7 is power-packed. Again, watch this. Verse 7 tells us in regards to love that we should love one another. And then as a result of our loving one another, we're classified or confirmed. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then right in the middle of the verse 7, we find the reason we're able to live out this love, and that's due to the fact that love is from God. Love, as a word, describes an emotion with various degrees of intensity. We can say we love ice cream and then we lick and slurp away. Or we can pledge our love to our spouse or to our country. Love is one of the most powerful emotions that we can know or experience. And we as humans, we crave love. We crave love from the very moment we enter into this world. For the Christian believer, love is a genuine test of faith. Test of faith of our love for God. There's four unique types of love that's found in the Bible. Eros, Storge, philia, and agape. The eros love is characterized by the romantic love, which I'm sure was displayed in many different ways this past week as we celebrated Valentine's Day. Storge love is probably the least mentioned of the four types of love in the Bible, and is characterized by family love. Philia love is characterized by brotherly love, and then of course agape love is the love that's characterized by God's divine love. Love is God's nature. There is no love in the sense of love that does not find its source, its root, in God. G.S. Bennett says the phrase "God is love" is the greatest words ever spoken in human speech, the greatest words in the whole Bible. He goes on to say that no human will ever be able to fathom the unfashionable meaning of the phrase "God is love." He says that one sentence, "God is love," contains the key to God's works, God's way, the mystery of creation, redemption, and the very being of God himself. In verses 9 and 10, we have a description of the manifestation of God's love. "In this, the love of God was manifested," or made known, "towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation for our sins." God's love in the past tense was manifested to us as sinners in the gift of his only begotten Son. God's love in the present is manifested to us as saints in his dwelling within us. Thus we have the phrase, "that we might live through him." And then God's love in the future is manifested to us in the giving of boldness in the day of judgment. Thus John writes, "he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation for our sins." We were dead. We needed life. We were guilty. We needed forgiveness. And God provided exactly what we needed. We needed a sacrifice. We needed a perfect, unblemished, sacrificial lamb. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for us. Have you ever thought about that phrase, "his only begotten Son"? It carries with it the idea of a very unique relationship in which no other son could have possibly fulfilled or shared. That makes the love of God all the more remarkable, that he would send his only unique son into this old, dirty, nasty world that we might be able to live and love through him. God's love was not shown or was not given or extended to us because we first love him. No, not at all. God does not love us because we love him. He loves us in spite of ourselves. And just how does he show that love? How did he show that love? How does he show that love? By sending Jesus, his only son, as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You cannot separate the love of God from the redemptive work of God through Jesus Christ. The two go hand in hand. In verse 11, John teaches the lesson of love within the family to us, where it says, "if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." In other words, since God showers his love on those who are now his people, we ought to also love those same people. Those are family members with us of God's blessed family. And because God loves them, we ought to also love them as well. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but just this week, the Lakeview family demonstrated this type of love by reaching out to another family who had a person that died. And what happened, the pastor came to this church, or came out of this church years ago, and he was pastoring this family who had the death, and he called the church here to inquire to see if it would be okay for the family to have the visitation and the funeral here because the place that they were currently meeting was not sufficient. And you folks, as a church family, graciously reached out to that family and permitted them to be able to have the visitation and the funeral here this past Wednesday. That's an act of kindness. That's an act of love, of an example of one part of the body of Christ reaching out to another part of the body of Christ and reaching their arms around that individual family and say, we love you. We're going to provide for you. We're going to help you with this. That's Christ-like action. Moving on down to verses 12 and 13, God's love is manifested to us here in the present by dwelling in us. The apostles say no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. In the book of John, John 1:18, we read, no one has seen God at any time. The begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So in the book of John, John's gospel, we see that the invisible God is made known to the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, after he was born and lived on the earth, and as he ministered, he taught about God the Father. He manifested the kingdom of God here on earth. Jesus Christ, God's own Son, manifested or made known God the Father. And then after his death and his resurrection, then his ascension back to the Father, Jesus returned home. And he's with the Father now in heaven. And then here, right here in John's epistle, 1 John chapter 4, we have that same expression again repeated that says, no one has seen God at any time. Here, God is manifested to the world, not through Christ, but as I said, because he's already gone back to heaven, at the right hand of God the Father. But instead, God today is being manifested to the whole world through us as believers. How? Through our love for others. Because God is love. So God is being manifested through us, through our love. The believers in that day and time, just like you and I, who are believers today, were to continue manifesting God the Father to the world. Just think how awesome that is. Right now, we as believers have the unbelievable opportunity, the unbelievable task of sharing Jesus, God's own Son, not only with each other, but to the world. And when we love one another, his love is perfected in us. This means that God's love to us has achieved its goal. We are never intended to be terminals or storage areas for God's love. We're to be channels through which God's love flows. Not storage areas, but channels through which God's love flows. God's love is given to us not that we might hoard it for ourselves, but that we might pour it out into others, to pour it out into the world. We're to love one another in this way. And that's proof that we are in him and he is in us because we are partakers of his spirit and of his love and sharers of his love. You know, sometimes we just need to really stop and think about this thing about called love. I know if you read 1 John chapter 4 here and the verses that I read this morning, if you read those verses and just go through them, just read them. You don't really grasp what's there. You have to really just stop and read it just word for word and just really dissect the scripture to see what's there. In verse 14, John adds the testimony of the apostles, and it says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." Again, we don't always pick up on it, but the key testimony is the divine love of God and the work of the Son as Savior. In verse 15, it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." You know, there's no closer relationship possible than for a person to abide in God and have God in return abide in him. There's no closer relationship than that. Let me just give you a word picture to help you understand that part of the scripture. Just take for instance a clear, 5-gallon bucket sitting right here, a clear 5-gallon bucket. And take that clear 5-gallon bucket and fill it with clean, sparkling water. And then take a brand new sponge, open it and take it out of the pack, and take a brand new sponge and take that clean sponge and put it down inside that clear 5-gallon bucket into that clean water. And when you submerge that sponge down into the water, what do you have? What happens? The sponge is in the water, and consequently, the water is in the sponge. That's what the scripture is saying here. That's the relationship that develops when we abide in God and God abides in us. When we abide in Him, He abides in us. Do you have that relationship today? Now, you know, if you take that sponge and hold it out of the water and don't dip that sponge completely in the water, that sponge is not going to be totally involved. That sponge is not going to be totally immersed in water. It's not going to be totally filled with water. What about yourself? Is there something that you're holding back from God? Is God truly in you completely? Are you totally in completeness in God? God's going to be true to His part. But are you certain about your relationship and your abiding with Him? Verse 16 offers one of many major checkpoints when it comes to the fact that whether or not God is truly abiding in us based on the reality of our love for one another. Or more specifically, do I truly love others in Christ? And I want you to listen to my heart right here. I've been with you. This is the fifth Sunday. I was here 2 Sundays in a row and then out of town in Asheboro preaching. And then for the last 3 Sundays, been back here at Lakeview. and I've heard people use this phrase. There's unity here. I heard it used this morning by a gentleman. There's unity here now in this church. Let me just insert this thought. The Lions Club can be in unity. The Athletic Boosters Club can be in unity. The Band Boosters Club can be in unity. I've even heard it told, and Billy, you probably know about this more than I have, I've heard it told that you can take a cat and duct tape the two cats' tails together, and there'll be unity there, but there's not much love there. What separates and makes church unity different from other types of unity is love. John said, if God so loved us, back when we were not so worthy of His love, if God so loved us, you and I, even more specifically, when God so loved the members of Lakeview Baptist Church, we ought to also love one another. Love is the evidence of salvation of a Christian. If you're born of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have God's nature within you. And then back to the illustration of the sponge in the water. Since God is love, His children who have His nature should also manifest and make known that love through their life and through their actions. Children should be like the Father. Now, Debbie and I have one child, a daughter. Her name's Misty. And Misty is beautiful just like her mom. But Misty is just like her dad. She has her dad's personality. She has her dad's attitude. She has her dad's ways. I mean, there's no mistaking. She's our child. She's just like her, looks just like her mom, but she's just like her dad. Our love for others makes God's love real and visible in the world. And in order that we might be able to witness to others, we have to have and share the love of God. That's what makes God so real and personal to us. In fact, when God's love is present in our lives, there's five significant things that will be visible. And each one of these could possibly be a sermon, but it's not going to be today, I tell you that, so you can rest at ease. But God's love is visible through our love for the Savior. God's love is visible in our life through our love for the Savior, Jesus Christ. God's love is visible in our life through our love for the Scripture, through God's Word. God's love is visible through us, through our love for the local church. God's love in our life is visible through our love for the saints, the people within the church. And then finally, God's love is visible in our lives through our love for sinners or for lost people. You know, just reading about God's love in the Bible is not enough. Seek to experience that love in your own heart by loving others and by sharing that love. And by the way, if you do love God, you will want to share His love with other people. And I know as soon as I say that, there's somebody here today that's saying, listen, I love God. I really do love God. But honestly, I just cannot bring myself to witnessing to somebody else. I'm just scared to death to do that. Let me tell you this. True love is victorious over fear. And the more you share that true love that you have for God, the less and less you will be afraid. As you continue to mature in your love for God and do what He commands you to do, you'll realize that you have nothing to fear because God the Father is with you. He has everything under control. You say, well, what if I'm talking to somebody and I always get this question. What if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? I've been asked that question many times, and I don't have an answer to it. What do? You trust God. You trust God for that moment when that question comes up. And you know what happens? Sometimes I've had to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. Let me dig on that, and I will get back to you. And it just gives me another opportunity to witness to them. In closing, here's the big picture. If I'm to be in a relationship / fellowship with God, then I must love those that He loves. So let me ask you three questions this morning. And these are three really, really tough questions. But I really think God wants you to hear these questions, and I think God wants you to respond to these questions because these are important. I just said that, you know, if we truly love God and are in a right relationship with Him, that we'll love those that God loves. So here's the question this morning. Question number one. Do you love every individual here in this worship center today? You might say, well, I'm a visitor. I don't know everybody here. But God is love, and He tells us to love each other. Now here's question number two. And this is where it starts really, really, really getting tough. Really getting tough. Question number two. Do you really love those who used to sit in the worship center here with you, who are not here any longer? God's word says, if God loves them, we're to love them. It's a tough question, isn't it? Especially for a church in your situation. And then the third question is, do you love those who have never been in this church? In other words, do you love those who are lost? Those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Three tough questions. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he abides in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. What's our example? What's our example for love? What's our example for loving one another? What's our example for loving those who once gathered here but are somewhere else? What's our example for loving those who have never been here? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can talk about unity. We can talk about unity a lot. But is there love to define that unity is of God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize those are tough questions. And I have absolutely no idea where you stand as individuals or as a church. But I believe that God gave me this message to share with you today. And I believe that God wants you to love his people as he loves his people. The altar is open. Maybe you just want to come and thank God for his love. Maybe you want to come and ask God to forgive you for not being able to love and to help you to love. Maybe you want to come and say, God, I realize that there's a lost and dying world outside beyond these walls today. And I pray to God that you would burden my heart with the love that I need to reach out to those individuals. Father, in this invitation, may your church be willing to say yes to the working of the Holy Spirit in their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand? Would you respond?
We're going to sing Just As I Am. Just as I am without one plea.
John, if you will, just keep on playing. Tough message today. But it's out of God's word. Love. Love. It's a tough four-letter word, isn't it? You say, but you don't know what I've been through. No? I sure don't. And we don't know what Jesus went through either to show his love for us. But he did. And he didn't just go to Calvary and quit. He went all the way to the cross. I want you to know from the very depths of my heart that I love you folks. I'm glad that God has brought us together at this particular time in my life and in your life. And that sermon that I prepared on Monday, I sure would have loved to preach today, but that's not what God wanted. He wanted you to hear this. He wanted you to be able to come face to face with his word about love and your situation. And you've done that. So now, we move forward. We move forward in faith, in hope, trust, and in love. Because God is love. And because he loves, I can face tomorrow. Thank you for being here today. I pray that you'll have a great afternoon. And God bless you. Shane, you want to dismiss us?
Everyone bow their heads. Lord, thank you for this message today. Please help us that every day as we go forward that we are showing the love that you would have us show. If it's at work, if it's at home, if it's just anyone random out on the streets, Lord, let us be the light that you want us to be to these people. Lord, help us this week. Continue to show us your love. Bless us this day, Lord. Amen.